Now this evening, we're going to begin a four-week series, evening series, based on Mark chapter 12, verse 30. That's going to be the central verse that carries through the whole series, and it reads, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." This week we'll be considering what it means to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, and then we're going to go on to consider what it means to love the Lord our God with our soul, mind, and strength. First though, let's take a moment to consider the context of Mark chapter 12. By way of a big picture, by this time Jesus had become the firmly established enemy of many of the Jewish leaders. Rather than genuinely seeking his remarkable wisdom, they seem to have got into the habit of trying to test him in order to try to trip him up, which unsurprisingly to us Christians resulted in them finding him to be perfect. When we see that in Mark chapter 12, the second part of the 34th verse, that says, "And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions." And so the lamb that was to be sacrificed was tried and tested and found to be without blemish, even though it was not the intention of those who tested him. Of course, their hope was to catch him out and to turn the people against him. Mark chapter 12, verse 30, forms part of the response that Jesus gave to one of the scribes who challenged him. Now, to me, as I read this passage, it's not completely clear to me whether the scribe was part of those who wanted to trick Jesus up. As I read this passage, there's some hint to me that this particular scribe was rather impressed by Jesus, and I almost get the impression that he had been watching the affair of the other leaders and Pharisees and scribes trying to trick Jesus up, and he had watched how well Jesus had answered them. And it's almost as if you've got someone standing at the side of a chess game and looking on and seeing how remarkably skilled the player that wins the game had been, and then saying, "I want to play you next." That's kind of the sense that I get. I might be wrong, but it's just the sense that I get from the passage. And then it turned out for that scribe, like it turned out for me when I played Richard Chess, who beat me very thoroughly. But nonetheless, he challenges Jesus by asking him a question relating to the law. Now, of the 613 commandments in the law, 365 of which are negative, and 248 of which are positive, he asked Jesus which was the most important of all. Well, Jesus knew all the moves in this chess game as such, and quickly pulled out a checkmate, pointing to the Jewish statement of faith, which is called the Shema. And this was a statement of faith that was recited both morning and evening by pious Jews. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." And that's Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 5. The name Shema comes from the first word that's translated in the English as "hear," which refers to the kind of hearing that results in a response. So this passage is saying, "Hear and respond, O Israel." It's that kind of hearing. It's not the kind of hearing that you just sit and it goes in one ear and out the other ear. It's the kind of hearing that causes a response. Hear and obey, or hear and respond. O Israel. With these things in mind, what does it then mean to love the Lord with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our might? Well, we could probably spend an endless amount of time considering these things. It's really an incredible subject if we think about it. But this week, we're going to be considering what it means to love the Lord your God with all your hearts. And again, we won't be covering everything that it means, but we'll be making a start. Now, the Bible mentions the heart almost 1,000 times. And yes, so this evening we're going to look at all 1,000 of those instances and break them down, and by that time it'll be next week. But usually when we read the word heart in the scriptures, it refers to the spiritual dimension of our emotions and our desires, although the usage in scripture is quite broad indeed. That might be because the ancient writers didn't know that much about the brain and how the different parts of the body function together, but we believe that it's the word of God, so however it works, it's good for us to consider what it means. Now, biblically, indeed, what does it mean for us to love God with all our hearts? It means that we love God, and again, these are four things that we're going to consider this evening. It's not everything that we could consider, but it means that we love God diligently, courageously, responsively, and righteously. And those are the four headings that we're going to look at this evening. Loving God with all our hearts means that we love God diligently. Let's take a moment to look at the verses that follow the Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Again, it reads, "Hear, O Israel." This is from verse 4, if you're following in your Bibles. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." What that looks like is laid out in the verses that follow. "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." These instructions speak of diligently loving the Lord our God, of doing our part to keep our heart with vigilance. And that's Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Perhaps we don't need to follow all of those instructions to the T, but the idea is that we speak about the ways of God and that we really keep God central to all that we do. And that was the point in those instructions. Now, what if we try but find that we're not really able to be as diligent as we might have hoped to be? When our hearts are genuinely after God, it's amazing how He lifts us up when we fall short. And Jeremiah 31, verse 3 reminds me of this. It reads, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." We might strive to be diligent in our pursuit of the Lord and of His word. Hopefully we get it right some of the time, but when we fail, that's not the end of our relationship with God. When our hearts are genuinely after God, He will lift us up. And how wonderful this verse is that says, "I will write these things on our hearts." And we know that that came to pass in the New Testament. Now, loving God with all our hearts means that we also love God courageously. We're probably familiar with the affiliation of courage and of the heart. If you think about many of the movies that we might have watched, you'll hear a line, something along the lines of, "Men of valor, take heart." And then they all rush into battle. I think we're quite familiar with the affiliation there. Jesus also used this language in John chapter 16, verse 33. He said, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And that also points to the fact that sometimes our courage will fail, but our strength is in the Lord. And that's why Jesus, right in those circumstances, said, "But take heart." And then he clarified, "I have overcome the world." And so it's a reminder that we are frail, but he is strong. And the psalmist was also aware of the frailty of his own courage when he wrote Psalm 73, verse 25 to 26. "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." And Psalm 31, verse 24 says, "Be strong and let your heart take courage, all who wait for the Lord." Of course, we face storms of life, as did the Philippians. And Paul wrote to them to encourage them. It's a passage that we know so well, but it's one that's rich and well worth reading regularly. Philippians 4, verse 4 to 7 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Part of loving the Lord our God with all of our hearts means that we love him courageously. The good news is that when our courage fails, his grace is enough. Loving the Lord our God with all of our hearts also means that we love God responsively. Christ Jesus loves us so much that he laid down his life for us on the cross. And a sign of our love for him in return is that we respond to him by loving others. This is a theme that's solidly threaded through almost every page of the Bible. This is why in Mark chapter 12, Jesus referenced Leviticus 19 verse 1 in his quotation of quotation of the Shema by saying, "The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and there is no other commandment greater than these." If we love God, we will show it by loving others as a response to his love for us. But what if we find that our hearts are unresponsive and that we're having difficulty loving others? Again, it's not the end. In such cases, we need to ask God to do an Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19 work within us. It says, "And I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh." Loving God with all of our hearts means that we have soft hearts, that we're responsive. We also do well to pray the prayer of Psalm 19, verse 14, that says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and redeemer." Loving God with all of our hearts, finally, means that we love God righteously. Or in more familiar language, we love God with a pure heart. In Matthew 5, verse 8, Jesus said to the crowds, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." And in 1 Timothy 1, verse 5, Paul wrote to Timothy, "The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith." In the Old Testament, Psalm 73, verse 1, which is a psalm of Asaph, reads, "Truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure." pure in heart. Loving God with all of our hearts means that our hearts need to be pure before Him. But what if we know that our hearts are not pure? Well, Asa found this to be true in verse 13. He writes, "All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence." In such cases, we then need to pray that wonderful prayer of David in Psalm 51, verse 10, where he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Well, part of loving God is that we love God with a pure heart, that we love God righteously. The bottom line is that we have no righteousness within ourselves apart from the finished work of the cross. And so we thank the Lord for His grace once again. Now, as we close, can you see how God graciously fills the great divide between all that He expects of us in loving Him and our shortcomings? We're called to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, but even when we tend to fail in doing this, His grace is sufficient. Our part, however, is to constantly surrender our hearts to Him. And when we find that we're not loving the Lord our God with all of our hearts, we come back and repent and ask God to help us to do so. And I think that's one of the reasons that the pious Jews would recite this in the morning and in the evening, because we have to remind ourselves of the importance of loving the Lord our God with all of our hearts. Well, let's take a moment to pray. Father, this evening we come to you with open hearts. Lord, we know that you have called us to love you with all of our hearts. But God, we also recognize that sometimes we fail in doing so. Lord, we thank you that your grace is sufficient. Lord, we ask that you would continue to work in us, that more and more we would find ourselves loving you with all of our hearts, undistracted by the things of this world, other things that we might love or have once loved. God, may you be our first and great love, and may we always pursue you with all of our hearts, loving you as you deserve to be loved. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.